Hello and welcome to episode 4, season 2 of The Purple Patch with Duck and Oz, a Fremantle Dockers podcast brought to you by two Freo fans. Oz, how you going, mate?
I'm living the dream every day of my life,
mate,
my friend.
Mate, bit of a later podcast, 8 o'clock at night. Usually we pod about 4:30, mate.
Which is my bad.
And, yeah, no, that's all right. Finished hey, work off the, comes in the way, mate.
The old parent-teach interviews, mate, which was very positive.
Yeah.
So, loved it.
Good stuff, mate. Yeah, good look, Oz, before we get into this week's game, mate, a couple of big announcements by the AFL.
Oh, yep.
Now, firstly, Oz, before we get into the good news,
yes,
let's talk about round 6, the Dockers versus Melbourne at 10:30 in the morning.
Yep.
WA time, of course, so yep. 12:30. Now, I believe they're playing an earlier match at Metricon so they can get on the Big Bird and fly home and... West Coast will be playing at 1:05. But, yeah, look, big match, obviously, because the big news is, mate.
He's the trade-off.
The trade-off is that we're going to be coming home, mate.
Yeah, baby!
And, Oz, I think you've got a little little sound clip to play.
I think I might have something.
We can edit this if you want to,
here
mate.
We go. No, it's here. It's almost like it's coming home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty bad news for the Dockers game. Now, are the Dockers in England not intrinsically linked?
Yes.
It's coming home. It's coming. Football's coming home. It's coming home.
It's coming. Now, how about this, Oz? I've just had
Can we have this going in the background?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, okay, good.
I've just had a look on the old fixtures, mate, and I tell you what, if the trends keep the way they're going and the Dockers don't win any games in the hub and the same with the Eagles... It could be 17th versus 18th, potentially, in front of 60,000. Now, Swamp Thing or any of their great... Freo Pope, I know he's a good stats man. But if there's anyone out there who would know a bigger crowd in front of two worst-positioned teams going into round 7. But, look, guys, hopefully everything comes on the up and up because we're playing... Look, we played Gold Coast this week. We got Adelaide the week after and then we got Melbourne the week after that. So, you know, it could be a couple of wins and then we come back to WA and, mate, I got a funny feeling we could just be staying in WA if the crowds are there. Like, do you have any reason why WA... Like, Victoria seems like a bit of a basket case at the moment.
Yes, correct. There's 33 cases...
They're 6 months away, mate.
Yep.
They're 6 months away still. They're kind of back where we were back 3 months ago. So, well, they're 3 months away. But, mate, is there any reason you can see why the AFL wouldn't fly people in, do the rolling hub, where they, I believe the scenario is the two visiting teams come in, they play each other.
Correct.
And then they're 14, as a part of their 14-day quarantine, because you're allowed to be... And then they play the Dockers and then the Eagles and the Dockers, whoever it happens to be. And then they fly off and then the next team comes in the next week. So it's kind of like a bit of a rolling over of that. So, mate, if it's playing in front of crowds and for the life of me, mate, I don't understand why, okay, obviously the 19th, the 18th is when the restrictions are lifted. Yep.
Why
is the game on the 17th?
It's stupid because it's 30,000 as opposed to 60,000.
Mate, are you telling me... Like, they don't believe that they wouldn't feel that. Now, they might be looking, look, we want a soft start. We want to see how it goes. But, mate, you'd get 60,000 for Pies Geelong.
Yes.
Like, there are a lot of Geelong fans in WA because of the Polly Farmer connection.
Yeah.
Okay.
WA, Mitch Duncan.
Mitch Duncan, mate. Even go
Harry
back
Taylor.
To, what's his name? Old Mark Bezusto.
No, not Bezusto. Peter Bezusto.
Not Peter Bezusto.
Yeah, it's Peter Bezusto.
Yeah, but was he Geelong? I'm thinking of Mark Besto.
Oh, Mark Besto.
Besto, who's their captain.
Yeah.
You know, like there's been a few good WA players come through.
Oh, Carlton, and sorry.
Yeah, of course, Collingwood. Mate, Collingwood have got players coming out, like fans coming out the wazoo, mate. Like there's heaps of Collingwood fans all over Australia, unfortunately. But, you know, like are you telling me 60,000 wouldn't rock up for that, mate?
And this is shout out to Duff. I love listening to the pod now. They fixed up the audio, which is good. And he made mention of the possibility of whether or not WA is seriously considered for a grand final. And I'll tell you why. Because they can't control what's going on over there. Mm. All they're doing is potentially exposing teams to unnecessary risk.
Yeah.
So over here in WA, where we've got a premier who's got it under control, forward thinking. Yes, I know it's a little hard, but guess what, mate? We're rolling right now. We're locking it down.
Lock down the state, mate.
Yep. And this could be the opportunity for us to host a grand final number one, but also number two is an out for the AFL to really see the possibility of rolling the grand final through different states.
Yeah, exactly. If they see 60,000 out at in Western Australia, and the like Duff says, if they wake up the next morning and the sun comes up and everything's fine, they're going to wonder, why aren't we spreading this around where we can actually demand money from state governments? Like, it's a money earner for the the AFL, mate. But look, Oz, I thought you were going to say your third thing is we could have a look and maybe dig a big ditch and just float away from the rest of Australia. I thought you were talking about secession, WA first, mate.
Oh, boy.
I think I voted for the WA party in the last election.
Nothing like a secession now and then.
Because the lovely lady had a big gold hat with a big black swan on it.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, get around that WA first party. I think they got about 100 votes, mate. So,
Moving on.
Safe Liberal seat for Duck. That's where he lives. Oh. Anyway, guys, let's get into this week's game. Talking to Bretto at Fremantle, and he said, look, just there'll be some communications coming out to our members vis-a-vis the email, the ticketing and seats entitlement and things like that. So hold off on that and all the questions that you might bombard the Freo Dockers with. They're working on something. They'll have something out to you guys. So.
And very quickly, it's a perfect opportunity, again, to revisit the Freo plug, which is, you know, Forever Freo or Freo Forever, and making sure that you're getting on board, you know, taking up the $100 ticket, getting you in potentially the chance to win a brand new house.
Yeah.
Now that we've got games here, mate, there's a hub.
You know, you could potentially, as a Freo member, I don't know how it's going to work. I've got no idea. This is not coming from Fremantle. This is coming from Duck, the podcaster. There's a potential to watch, like, as a Freo member, like, 12 games.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if we don't leave the hub, like, oh, hang on. Is there 12 games? There's got to be 17 games.
17 games.
And we've played, by the time we get back to hub,
yep.
It'll be...
We've got another three. Let me
do the math on that. So round seven.
Another three,
so
sorry.
10
another
games. Yeah. Potentially. 10 games? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
What's My that? Brain's fried, mate, so don't ask me about math.
We've got some games. 10 games. Let's just say that.
We got games.
Shout out to Timmy O, who... when we first started the podcast, mate, said my highlight of it is listening to you do math out loud. Anyway, guys, we've come a long way. I'm still doing math out loud. Let's get into the game. And look, episode, I've already gone through that, but at 5:40, Oz, in the late afternoon / evening.
Yeah.
Can you believe this?
No.
What's this 5:40 time?
I don't know.
At Metricon, the 2-1 Gold Coast Suns will be hosting the third place Gold Coast Suns will be hosting the 0-3 Freo Dockers, who are currently 17th. Look, the young Suns have impressed over the last 2 weeks, Oz. It's pretty easy to see. The Dockers are young, but only losing each game from one quarter. We went through that on the Purple Rain, guys. If you haven't subscribed to that, it's at Purple Rain. Look, I reckon once again, Oz, we're red hot sniff.
Oh, boy.
You know, and if we're allowed to bet on games, mate, I think we're a little bit of an outside favourite, and I think we've got used to the slippy conditions. Hopefully there's no...
Yep.
I haven't checked bomb.com, but hopefully there's no torrential downpours. But even then, mate, I think we'd be used to it by then. But, Oz, do you want to go through the teams?
Oh, boy, here we go. Now, if you weren't high on the arousal curve before, Duck, wait until I finish talking about this. And one of them I've got matched up. Ready to talk about the midfield job. But here we go. The mighty Fremantle Dockers starting from the back line. We have Stephen Hill, Griffin Logan, Reese Conker. At half back, we have Nathan Wilson, Luke Ryan, and Ethan Hughes. In the centre, we've got Brett Bewley, Nat Fife, and James Aish. A half forwards, Lockie Schultz, Matt Tabanar, and, oh yes, a Caleb, a Sarong. In the forward line, we've got Trav Collier, Jesse Hogan, and Michael Walters. And our ruck followers, we have Rory Lobb, Andrew Brayshaw, and Darcy Tucker. Our interchange currently, Brandon Matera, Hayden Young, Adam Chera, David Mundy. With our emergencies, Sean Darcy, who's made the miraculous recovery from almost death with his knee. He's back ready to roll, potentially. Connor Blakely, Taylan Duman, and Bailey Banfield. So the ins, Caleb Sarong, Stephen Hill, and out, Sam Sturt with an ankle injury, and possibly 3 to 5 weeks is what they're saying, Duck. And Brennan Cox.
I think he's maybe groin or quad hamstring, not quite sure there. Yep. Not 100% sure. But, I mean, I think it was a pretty valiant effort from both Sturt and Cox to keep playing on the weekend, because I think Cox went down early in the first quarter and Sturt went down in that third quarter and kept playing. So it really valiant effort by those guys to play through the pain threshold in a game that we could have nearly pinched if things just went our way here and there. I know it's very optimistic, but Oz, just quickly, here we go. Let me see if I can butcher some of these names of the Gold Coast players. Butterick, Collins, Lukosius, Hanley, Ballard, Harbrow, Weller, Greenwood, Anderson, Powell, Day, Ellis, Sexton, King, Ainsworth, Witt, Swallow, Rao, Bowes, Holman, Miller, and McPherson. Is their team, mate. So that, I don't think they made a change, the Suns. No changes for the Suns, which would have been the first time in their... Well, I would love to know of their history how many times they've gone into a game unchanged. But look, Oz, do you want to get into matchups, mate? Nice, yes, and quickly. So just the first matchup in our back line, obviously. Alex Sexton versus young Ethan Hughes. Oh, yeah. Sexton, look, he's been quiet for the start of 2020, only kicked a couple of goals, but kicked 4.5 against us last time, Oz, in round two in 2019, in which I think they kicked about 10 goals and he kicked about half their score. Look, Hughes comes off a bit of a bath from Charlie Cameron in the first half of the game against Brisbane, but then bounced back to play on, I think he's playing a bit on Motlop, bit on Robbie Gray, but the small defenders did a really good job, and Ethan Hughes was a big part of that. Now, the big thing is that Ethan Hughes is a bit of an unsung hero in the Dockers' back line. He isn't immune, however, to what we call, shout out to Dork Talk, a Cat 10. Cat 10, which, guys, if you don't know what that is, that's a mistake that results directly in a goal. you know, so an example of a Cat 10 would have been Reece Conker last week.
Or death of a football
trying to spoil a ball and just missing it completely. Goes over the top, they kick goal. So that's a Cat 10 for you. Just like the old Category 5 Cyclone, a Category 10 means big danger. But look, mate, he may have to also, with the matchups as well, Ethan Hughes, he may have to play on... Ben King, Max King, whatever King it is, may have to play on King, which might be a little bit of an interesting one, because if you look at our back line, mate, it is very, very short. Griffin Logue, I think, is our tallest player, and he actually plays, I would say, better on smalls than on talls because of his pace. So who knows what we're going to do there with the matchups. I think, like, Duman is an emergency, and he's got long arms. But, you know, is Ethan Hughes, Luke Ryan, Wilson, Hill, Young, Conker, you know, they're not tall blokes, and Logan. I think it's obviously no team would be able to get through, obviously leaving Hamling, Pierce, and now Cox.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what J-Lo does. Maybe we may see the big Hoags push down the centre half back if he's needed, mate.
Well, interesting, bud. You nailed it with the height. It's going to be an issue, but I think it's all about the coal face. And I think we're vesting, if you will.
What a segue, Oz. Yeah.
You like it? Matt Rao versus Caleb Sarong. Move aside, Michael Clark, as two real pups go head-to-head in the clash of the round for mine. Fresh of 20 disposals, 12 contested possessions, 10 tackles and 2 goals versus Adelaide. 26 disposals, 7 tackles and 2 goals versus the Weagles. Matt Rowell is fast becoming the hottest ticket in town. He appears to be the real deal, and he's soaking up the pressure of being the number one draft pick. His disposal efficiency is running hot at 73.8%, and he's averaging 4 scoring involvements per game. So, yeah, the superlatives are coming thick and fast for the young man, and we will need to be on high alert when he's near the pill. And when he streams forward to create an additional scoring threat. Now, our great hope in the guts from the same draft class is Caleb Sarong. Did you know that both these players went head-to-head as captains for their respective state teams?
No.
Vic Country Caleb Sarong, co-captain. Matt Rowell, Vic Metro.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. Now,
we're going to see.
I'm going to give you some stats
here. The country
boy
show the city boy up, maybe, mate.
Oh, look.
Do the sniff of that.
Can I just throw this in here for Caleb Sarong? Not only was he co-captain of Vic Country in the under-18s championships, he also won Vic Country's most valuable player. And he was also selected in the under-18 All-Australian side and the NAB League Team of the Year. He was ranked second overall at the under-18 championships. And guess who that was behind?
Matt Rowell?
Yeah.
Ooh.
These two, mate, have a rivalry. Now, before I go on and bang on about Sarong here, mate, let me throw some names out there.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson, Larry Bird.
Ooh.
Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing. Bit of hippie.
Yeah.
Nat Fyfe.
Yeah.
Patrick Dangerfield.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Matt Rowell, Caleb Sarong. Lock it in, because these two guys are going to go head-to-head for the rest of their career. I tell you what, this is shaping up to be a long-time rival, mate. Get excited. Now, just quickly, he is a ball magnet. He's got clean hands. He's got a great understanding of the game. These are all things that were coming out of the draft. These are things that basically, when we were drafting, the news on Sarong was that he should be going anywhere between three onwards in the draft. So we picked up an absolute steal. But what excites me about Sarong, mate, is the one percenters that you mentioned a couple of episodes ago. So he's able to get his hands in places where hands shouldn't be going.
Yeah.
Intercepting balls.
Interruptions.
Grabbing,
yeah,
you know, jerseys, whatever the case is. And that is going to make a difference. Now, interestingly, one of the weaknesses that they said about Sarong was that he becomes a little too emotional on the field. Now, I'll argue this, Doc.
Too emotional?
Now, I'll argue this, mate.
Weakness.
I'll argue we actually,
too emotional.
We actually need someone with a little bit of emotion in the guts.
That's pretty funny. That's like, have you got any weaknesses?
I had a bit of a joke about
if anything,
that.
I'm too hardworking.
Now, mate, I tell
too
you.
Too emotional.
Now, overall, mate, the danger with Rowell is obviously his ability to move forward and link up with Ben King. That's the issue.
Yeah.
And Ben King is currently frothing at the services he's receiving thus far from the midfielders. Now, if we can clog that up, if we can disrupt the service, then maybe the height's not so much of an issue.
Yeah, you get third man across, you slow it down.
Correct.
The zone can work a bit better. Yeah, I mean, that's is a very valid point there, Oz. And I think as well, the Dockers are taking, and the fans appreciate, look, we know we're not going to be world beaters this year. And, you know, the feedback we get from our listeners are, look, we're not too worried about wins and losses, but playing someone like Sarong for the rest of the year is a really positive step. Now, it sucks that Cox and Sturt are injured.
Yep.
But I think no matter what, Sarong had to play this week. And I know it's very interesting. Against Carlton, he had a strong preseason game, and he's looking like he's in our best 22. And then against Eagles, he was quiet for the first three quarters. But I give you the tip, guys, go back and watch that last quarter, because I watched it again and I was like, man, Sarong is in everything. Darcy Tucker was in everything, but Sarong just in there, and he didn't actually get possessions, but he was involved in everything.
Yep.
Holding the ball, little tap out, little tackle to dispossess, you know, quick little hands, this and that. And I was like, mate, get him in for round one. I thought he was a red hot sniff for round one. But, you know, we didn't go with him. But, mate, the positives are here now with him. And
absolutely.
I'm excited, mate.
And again,
wraps on the young fella.
Again, it's all about trying to protect our D50.
Mm.
So if we can disrupt, as you said, that's going to help us. I'll go on to the next one.
Yeah, mate.
Jared Witts versus Rory Lobb is my second matchup that I'd like to focus on. Now, the giant crustacean with the big pinchies known as Lobster. He goes head-to-head with Witts, who earned the nickname the Taylor versus Adelaide last week. Did you know this?
No.
For his ability to size up the Crows' ruck department while simultaneously pulling their pants down in a dominant display. He had 17 disposals, 22 hitouts, and 8 tackles versus the Crows. But he's also averaging just under 4 score involvements per game. So he's also pushing forward. I think this is a pretty even matchup. Now, I'll talk about Lobb now, but there's also some interesting history between these two guys, mate.
Oh.
Now, quickly, Witts does have a good tank. He'll be a good matchup. But like I said, there is certainly some feeling in this rivalry, and it actually dates back to June 9, 2018, to be exact, when Lobb was at the GWS Giants, and there was a tussle, a little tussle that provided some great pictures of ripped shirts and exposed boobs between Lobb and Witz. They were going at it.
Yeah.
Expect that rivalry. This is all about rivalry.
Yeah.
I'm just beefing this game up, mate. I'm telling you right now. Now, very quickly, Lobb is currently averaging 11 disposals, 11 hitouts, and just under one goal per game. But it's his contested marks that we rely on, particularly when exiting D50. You made mention of this on the Purple Rain. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already done so. The pressure that he can alleviate down the line by taking those marks makes a big difference. He's proved that he can take the game on in round one versus Essendon when he single-handedly almost dragged us over the line. We need his aerial prowess to both nullify repeat D50 entries and to push forward and provide a target inside of 50. So between the arcs, obviously important, but also getting inside and kicking a goal or two. I'm really looking forward to this matchup. I believe that if Lobb can get on top, particularly with the stoppages, it goes back to what we were saying before. I think it reduces the influence of the followers for Gold Coast and their free-flowing style of football.
Yeah, and I think as well at the selection committee, they've made a really strong message where they've gone, Darcy, you're an emergency. You're not playing. Fit enough to play, but not playing. Lobb, we're going with you as the number one ruckman. You are our number one ruckman while Sean Darcy still learns his craft a bit more. Lloyd Meek, still nowhere to be seen. But Roaring Lobster, mate, it's up to you now. You have to push forward. There is no tomorrow. There is no, I want to play forward. Mate, you're in the ruck. You've got to provide for us around the ground. He got handsomely beaten by Lysette on the weekend, and that some of the clearances that they got in our D50 that just walked through for goals, end up costing that. And the other thing, the big Roaring Lobster, mate, he's just got to get his jukes out. We know.
Get those guys, pinches out.
If he's getting the ball below his eye line, he just will drop it. He will. But he's got to get up, high point that ball, as we like to say in the classics, mate. High point the ball. Mm. And actually give us something down the line as well, because it was the thing that got us in that second quarter where we just couldn't get it out of our day 50. So if he can high port it, he can give us that link up through the guts as well, playing in the ruck, get back, work hard, Tabs will give him a chop out. I think this is a real... He has to bounce back because he did have a pretty poor game.
Yep.
And the game against Brisbane, he wasn't great either. So he's had two poor games in a row when we're expecting a lot more. And he's probably, when you think about him, you're kind of like, well, he's our third or fourth most important player just about, after Walters and Fife. I was just quickly onto the forwards. Young Brandon Matera versus Butterick. Don't know if I'm saying that right. I butcher our own names, mate. But look, he's a rising star last week, and along with Harbour and Pierce Hanley, is another running halfback that they've got. So, look, Harbrow chopped us up when we played against them last year. And, look, we just got to, if we can nullify that a bit and make him accountable, and a crafty young player who is a dual citizen. Dual citizen's coming up next after the break, guys, so hang on for that. Tantalising dangler there. But, look, he's coming up against Gold Coast, his old side, Matera. He's got a bit to prove. Look, very quiet in both games so far in the hub. Look, and he's kicked one goal, six disposals in the first game, one goal, seven disposals in the second game. He had a real renaissance last year, halfway, about a quarter of the way through the year, when, we put the mockers on him and he's just come out. He pretty much won us the game against St Kilda and then went on a purple patch. Pardon the pun. Kicked 30 goals, 25, and we need something from Matera because he's 28 years old, and you start to think, just like we talked about Collier last week, these guys, even though they might be the world's best blokes, great teammates, all this stuff, it's last chance saloons for these guys. And I think that, if push comes to shove, when Sturt comes back, are you going to maybe push out Sarong, or are you pushing out one of these guys if they're not giving us anything? And look, it's a really hard craft being a small forward, but get around Hogs, get around Tabs, get front and center. And, it's really weird. At the Dockers, we seem to want to pinpoint our small forwards when the small forwards front and center, high pressure, you know, tackling, tackling, tackling. They don't have to take marks. They just got to kick goals. That's all they've got to do, you know. So, look, that's what we need to see. And we need to see that defense. The defense has to start, and we've got to stop teams walking it out of our attacking 50 as well. You know, very important there because it's team defense, mate. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's go to a break. When we come back, guys, we've got a great dual citizen and a great first time they met, and then our predictions for the game. Welcome back to episode four, season two, Purple Patch with Duck and Oz.
Howdy.
Fremantle Dockers podcast brought to you by Freo fans. Now, Oz, we had a number of dual citizens we could have run down. I didn't realise that the Dockers and Gold Coast Suns had such a strong connection. And there was a big chat this week about Weller versus Brayshaw. How did the trade work? I mean, I think that every day of the week you're taking that pick two for Lachie Weller, but he's played a couple of good games. But he's not our dual citizen, mate. Our dual citizen goes back to a crafty halfback flanker, mate. In one Greg Broughton dashing off the halfback wing, halfback flank, mate. Part of Subi's flags in 06, 07, and 08. He was the fairest and best for Subiaco in 2008. Gets rookie listed by the Dockers in 2009. Plays 15 games in 09, 17 and 10, 21 and 11. And 15 and 12, including rounds 1 to 16 under Ross. So he played the 15 games in a row. Then, and it was a bit all over the place. Then he's traded after that and plays another 42 games with the Gold Coast Suns. I think he got a bit of a better contract. The other thing that why he was traded essentially was Lee Spur had come into the side. And I was trying to think, what was the deal with Broughton? But Spur and Sutcliffe, not Sutcliffe, but Spur came into the side definitely and kind of took that same spot. But, mate, look, we traded him with pick 58 for pick 36, which we turned into Tanner Smith, mate. Remember that guy? Hamstrings. Did he do his hamstrings?
Yep.
A lot, Tanner Smith. But, look, interesting one, mate. Just looking at the Doig, he came eighth in 2009. Fifth in 2010, and then third in 2011. So
that's an upswing.
Yeah, man, and a pretty good halfback flanker. But look, I just don't think he quite fitted Ross's mold. And I mean, he didn't play that many more games for Gold Coast anyway. But a little bit unlucky, and it was one of my favourites back in the day. I really liked it.
Was it the tape around the wrists?
Yeah, it was
the tape around the wrist.
What did he wear, number 6 and number 42 for a bit and all over the place? But, I mean, real good footy player and real solid and look, a little bit of an interesting dual citizen there. But
I like it.
Yeah. Is any Greg Broughton thoughts, mate?
I just always thought he was a solid footballer.
Yeah.
Like, I can't really remember any Cat 10 mistakes from him. Maybe I'm being a little generous, but I couldn't remember anything. As soon as you said, I'm like, oh, yeah. He was just solid.
It's interesting, mate, because you would have thought in 2013, 2014 and 2015, Greg Broughton might have been a bit better player than maybe someone like Tommy Sheridan. Halfback flank, mate. Remember, what was that game where they switched it to Tommy Sheridan and he just dropped it?
Yep.
Is that a final?
I believe it was against Hawthorn. It might have been a...
Is that the first semi? Yeah, and then we lost to Port Adelaide.
No, we at home when Fife broke his leg.
Oh, was that the...
That was when...
Oh, was that that game, the main game?
Yeah.
And where Maney missed it.
Cyril Rioli.
They kicked 5 goals in the first quarter and that was... he might as well packed it up, blown the siren, given up by then.
Oh, yeah.
Oz, have you got a... what do you call your one? Best time they
best
met?
Best time they met. Yeah, hang on, let me just crank this up. Oh, I just love the intro to this. I think it's underrated. As a theme song, this old Freo song with the drums, it's a tribal beat. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Anyway, let me take you back in the DeLorean again, Duck. Round 15, 2011. On a Saturday afternoon. Can I just repeat that again? It was a Saturday afternoon, not a Sunday. It was a Saturday afternoon at 1:10 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was still Saturday.
Yeah.
It was still So we'll see. Anyway, look, Saturday afternoon, 1:10 p.m. in front of 28,646 purple lunatics at Subiaco Oval when we played the Gold Coast Suns for the very first time.
Oh, so it was the first time they met?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So I like
just
that,
sort
mate.
Of delay. It's both the best time and the first time. And the scoreline?
Yeah. 28 goals to 1 or something?
Close. 17-10, 112 Fremantle. Ooh. Absolutely pantsed the Gold Coast Suns, 9-8-62. A margin of 50 points.
Oh, who kicked all the goals, mate?
Now, here we go, Doug.
Oh, hello. Now I'm getting excited.
I want you... There are three players that... You'll never guess one of them. But there are three players that kicked three goals.
It's 2011,
2011. Three players kicked three goals each. Who were
they? I'm going to go Ballas.
Correct.
Pav?
Correct.
I reckon the last one is going to be someone how weird like...
Yes.
I was going to say Kepler.
No. Kepler Bradley didn't play.
Ryan Crowley?
No. Ryan Crowley didn't score. I'm going to put you... One more guess.
Adam McPhee.
McPhee didn't play either, but this guy did. Tendai Mazungu
kicked three goals.
And if you don't mind, Tendai...
He was handy. He could kick a goal.
Tendai, who still looks like he can play, by the way.
Yeah.
He still looks in great nick.
Mate, burning it in the training sessions.
Is this like a James Podziadli potential here for Tendai? Like he's just killing it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm just listening to this song.
Yeah, I know.
Did that say show him how to roll? Like, what is the second verse of the Freo Dockers song?
It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense. We are the Freo Dockers.
Yeah.
That's all we need to know. Tendai had 16 possessions that game. Three goals. Now, you'll remember a little guy by the name of Josh Mellington. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah. Mellington with the rowdy hair.
Yeah. So Josh Mellington had five.
Oh, no, that was Jesse Crichton.
Jesse Crichton, yeah. But Josh Mellington also had a similar head. Five disposals and one goal.
Oh, nice.
Other goal kickers include Nick Lower. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
MJ. Mm. Two goals to Jonathan Griffin. Two goals to Nat Fife. And one goal to Matt DeBoer.
Who got the Brownlow votes, mate?
That's a very good question, Doug.
Are you on AFL tables?
I'm on... no, I actually...
went all the way back to...
I'll find
it on AFL tables, mate.
But let me guess who got the Brownlow votes here. I'm going to go with... Because Greg Broughton actually played in that game, got 32 disposals, mate. So it ties in well with your dual citizen. He had 32 disposals, 15 handballs, 17 kicks...
I tell you,
and 11 tackles, mate. 11 tackles.
The Brownlow votes were 2 votes, Jono Griffin.
Yep.
1 vote, Matt Pavlich. Is it Reece Palmer? Matt Pavlich. And 3 votes to Gary Ablett, who got 34 disposals and kicked 3 goals, too.
Yeah. So, on the other side of the spectrum here, Duck, very quickly, obviously, Gary Ablett with your 34 disposals. Yes. David Swallow had 28 disposals as well on the day. And some of the names that just don't exist anymore in the competition. Obviously, their lineup, they had Ablett, Bock, Brennan of the Jared variety, Campbell Brown, Sam Day, Josh Fraser, Jared Howbrow, Carmichael Hunt, which was a trial gone wrong.
Yeah.
Brandon Matera.
Mate, can I say this?
Yes, go.
And this is one of my calls, and I'm going to go all the way back to Mandurah and shout out to my mates. They wouldn't be listening to this, but went down to Mandurah.
Yeah.
Took a mate's car down there, went to Hog's Breath Cafe, but Gold Coast were playing in, and we walked into my mate's house, and my mates were like, oh, Carmichael Hunt, he's going to be a good player. And I was like, I bet you Carmichael Hunt does not play 100 games. He's going to be out of this game before you know it.
Boy, oh boy.
And they were like, no, he'll be an All-Australian. And I was like,
oh, come on
what
now.
A joke.
Come on.
What a joke, mate.
All right, let's move on.
Anyway, Oz, let's get into our predictions for the week. Now, the line is 6 negative 6.5, mate.
Oh, to Freo, clearly.
No, Dockers.
Oh, sorry.
Plus 6.5. They're giving us a goal.
Yeah, okay.
Now, Oz, if we could bet.
That's a...
Ooh, Snifferoni. And shout out to you, Leone. I know you'll put a little sniff on this. I would get on that little line, get that 6.5 handicap at $1.90.
Couple it up.
And get on down to your local TAB and why not?
Okay, so who have we got?
What do you mean, who have we got? I'm going to go for... I reckon I've actually tipped the Dockers in my my... footy tipping competition. I've tipped the Dockers. I think we'll bounce back and have a good win. I think that Gold Coast have played well for 2 weeks. But they've also, I mean, they caught Eagles on, and Eagles are just crying. They're homesick. But I think Adelaide are really bad. And I think we've got a red hot sniff to go in, Fife to throw his body, and Fife to really put a stamp on, hey, Rao. Rao?
Rowdy.
Rao. You think you're good, mate? You haven't come across a big dog like me.
Yeah.
He's going to bite him up, mate.
Yeah, nice. I like it. Look, mate, I'm going to go with the reverse juju action here, and I'm going to go with Gold Coast winning in a close game, only because every time I tip Freo in a close one, we tend to come out negative on the other side. So I'm going to reverse juju.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Gold Coast in a close game, and let's hope Freo win.
I reckon.
That doesn't necessarily reflect my tip, by the way.
Yeah. Mate, no one knows what's going to happen with the tips, mate. My tips are all over the place. Yeah. But, guys, on that note, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Spotify, where the Purple Patch is. We are the Purple Rain, me and Oz, so why not follow us on social media at PurpleRain95 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Every Thursday afternoon when I find time, I do my changes for the day that I think are going to happen. They're usually completely wrong, and people give me a little bit of grief about them, but I was pretty close this week. I got for a couple more droppings. But, yeah, guys, get around it, and why not listen to The Purple Rain? Every Monday we release that show, and we'll be reviewing.
Don't forget to get around the Dockers campaign for forever. Let's make it happen.
Why not, guys? All right. See you, guys.
See you, guys.